Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Basketball Fiends Podcast, brought to you by the RS Kena Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Alex Aguilera, and with me is Houston's own. I gotta switch it up just because, I don't know, I gotta find out some more like Houston lingo or some more Houston background. But anyway, it's Jesus Acevedo Jr. Jesus, what's up?
It's what's up is I'm doing good. Thank you for that introduction. And I'll send you a link where you can learn more about the Houston vocabulary. But I'm doing really well, Alex. How are things in Chi-Town?
You know, I think things are good. We got to find something else besides weather, but just because we had a bunch of rain over here. But it's cleared up now. Weather's getting better. So, I mean, it's all good. But you know what? I got a question for you. I got a question for you because I think between the two of us, you have the more life experience. So
I'm in OFR. You know, I mean, you can just say I'm old. It's fine. You were trying to find nice way of saying it.
You got the life experience. That's my way of putting it. And I'm sticking
I love
to
that.
It.
I'm about to start using it whenever I meet people that are older and be like, you know, you have such great life experience.
Exactly. So my question to you is 1993. What a good sounding year. I just got a nice ring to it. What were you doing back in 93?
93, around June, I had just turned 10 years old, if you can believe it. Skinny little kid, 10 years old, probably playing basketball maybe around this time. 93 was also Jurassic Park came out, so that was an exciting year. I think that was Shaq's first year, if I believe. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was a rookie.
Yeah, rookie year. There you go. So, you know, it was a while back. I don't remember much more than that. You know, it's funny. We always remember all the pop culture stuff that happened in that year more so than what happened in our lives. I'm sure I did a lot more than I can just remember right now. But yeah, so I was just 10 years old. But now, Alex, what were you doing in 1993?
All right, I'm once again exposing my age when I say I wasn't even a thought. Like... I wasn't even a thought in 93. My parents were just friends at the time. They weren't even dating. My parents didn't start dating until like 95, 96.
Oh, wow. So they were just friends for a good while, you know, established a strong relationship before taking on to the next step. So in 93, you were not even like close to even existence at all. Not even the thought.
Yeah. Yep. Far from it. Far from existence.
But what's interesting is that in 93, your hometown Chicago Bulls were in the finals against the Phoenix Suns, who just happened to make a return to the NBA Finals in the 2021 NBA season. It's their first finals trip since 1993. It's been 28 years since 1993. I am old. But yes.
Booker was like, I saw minus 3 years old. Chris Paul was, I think, like...
8 years old.
9 or 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Monty Williams,
yeah,
coach.
Old, like that.
Coach Monty Williams was still playing at Notre Dame, and Suns GM James Jones was a 12-year-old. So that is a long time. And those are very important names that we just dropped because those are the nucleus of what has led Phoenix to make his run to the final. Got to throw also in DeAndre Ayton. And faithful listeners, if you haven't guessed, our first topic is the Suns making a run to the finals. Alex, this is a very interesting, peculiar season for the Suns that they made this run to the finals. They definitely have the talent. We've seen that. But before this season, the franchise had missed the playoffs the past 10 seasons. Now, in their first playoff return to make the NBA Finals, that has never happened in NBA history.
Nope, not at all. Actually, the last time they were in the playoffs... it was the Amadi Stoudemires, the Steve Nashes, the Sean Marions, that little big three that they had, which is actually very good. I feel like people forget about that big three. Like, that was a really solid squad. I think they had Jason Richardson, too, on that team.
Quentin Richardson team, as well.
They went to the Western Conference.
Quentin Richardson, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it? Wait, Quentin Richardson? I thought Jason Richardson was on that team,
too. I think it was both of them, actually.
Were they both on that team?
I think so.
Well, they had Richardsons. Phoenix likes their Richardsons. But yeah, they went, it was 10 years. So the last time they went, it was actually a Western Conference Finals run. They lost to the Spurs, Lakers. I believe the Lakers won.
Lakers, no. You're right.
It was the Lakers.
You're right.
You know, they lost to the Lakers, and that was for Kobe's fifth championship. So just a bunch of perspective. Like that's how long it's been. And since then, it's been a lot of losing seasons, a lot of rough times in Phoenix. But first trip back to the playoffs, and they're in the finals.
I mean, the Suns are 2 years removed from only winning 19 games. If they win it, if they win the NBA trophy, that'll be 16 wins, almost as much as they had 2 years ago. But look, this Suns, you've been on them all season long, so I definitely have to give you credit. And now I want to ask you, did you even envision that they could make a finals run? I know you predicted a Western Conference finals run. Could you have imagined that they would have made a finals run?
I mean, not realistically. Like when I gave my hot take and I said a Western Conference Finals run, I was like, man, but I don't know if they could make the finals. Like that seems, you know, pretty. That seems like a lot. But I just feel, once again, this is a super talented team and they deserve to be in the finals. I also think you have to keep in mind too, just sort of circumstances wise. I mean, a lot of things just sort of fell in place for them, and I think that happens with any championship team.
Yes, thank you.
Just have stuff where luck falls your way and things just sort of work out. You've had it in the case where when they faced the Lakers in the first round, they were pretty banged up. You know, had it been a fully healthy Lakers squad in the first round, you know, who knows? I think they still pull it out, but I think it's a lot tougher in the first round. And in the second round, they played Denver, who once again, without Jamal Murray, had he been there in that series, I don't think Denver gets swept. And then you have the same case for the Clippers, where Kawhi goes down early on, or even before that series, like right before that series starts. I think it's a totally different series if the Clippers are healthy. So you have, once again, what I call circumstances. The Suns definitely caused some breaks throughout the playoffs, but at the same time, they played tremendously. And I think you look at Devin Booker, who's been there, but also CP3, the point guard.
I'm so glad you brought up circumstances, because there are circumstances to this season, but there's circumstances in every season to any championship team or any team that makes it to the finals. You said it, there's luck involved. Nobody knows that more than Chris Paul. The last time Chris Paul was in the Western Conference Finals was in 2008 with the Houston Rockets. I know that season very well. It was one of the best Houston Rockets seasons ever. 65 wins. They were up 3-2 on the Golden State Warriors, the almighty Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant. Had them on the ropes, and Chris Paul comes up short with a hamstring injury. You know, pull up short, sorry, with the hamstring injury, and he missed the next two games. So that was a circumstance of the Warriors being able to advance. So, but look, in this Western Conference Finals, there's no way Paul was going to lose this series, and especially this last game, Game 6. Point guard scored 41 points. 41 points, zero turnovers. I think I wrote the wrong assist numbers. I have it as 14, but I don't think that's the right. But still, his game was spectacular. And look, Monty Williams also has to be given a lot of credit. Him and Chris Paul go back to the New Orleans Hornets days. I'm sure we've all seen the picture where it's Chris Paul and Monty Williams in their New Orleans Hornets days, and then now with the Phoenix Suns. You know, so both those men have been on such a journey in this league, and now that journey continues on in the NBA final. What I find funny is that was it fate that just lined up that Chris Paul advanced to his first finals in the arena he used to call home, the Los Angeles Clippers? I think when most people think of Chris Paul, you know, I think his Clipper reign was so prominent. You know, he was the first piece that really started transforming that franchise into what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the, what's the word of the day? Circumstances.
Circumstances, the word of the day.
Right, you look at the whole trade drama with him supposed to be going to the Lakers, and then David Stern turned it down, and he still ended up in LA, but it was with the Clippers. And for much of the Clippers' existence, they've always been just the other LA team. You know, it's always been a Laker town, and he was a big, like you said, a big prominent piece, if not the biggest prominent piece, to really like turn around that whole franchise. I mean, they became Lob City. It was such a fun team to watch. You had him, you had Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, JJ Redick, Matt Barnes, Jamal Crawford. Like that was a super fun team. And it sucks that they didn't really do much, but I mean, hey, they made waves. Like, they sort of risen from that, you know, we're just the other LA team. Like, no, like, the Clippers are now a franchise that people know now. They're sort of a household name, and a lot of that is in part to Chris Paul showing up there.
One person that has benefited tremendously from Chris Paul has been DeAndre Ayton. He had a great series. He got outshined by Chris Paul and Devin Booker, but his presence was huge. And, you know, shout out to him because he played high school ball in Phoenix and played for Arizona University. So this has to just feel great for him. He's a hometown boy, and he's taking, you know, he was instrumental in getting the Phoenix Suns to the finals. And a couple other things I wanted to notice. You know, this team is primed to be a contender for years to come. The only veteran presence they have on the squad is really Chris Paul and Jay Crowder. You know, the rest of the squad, I believe, is 27 years old or younger. That is a young squad nucleus. And this playoff season, this postseason, they've built such a camaraderie, but also they've built and learned through these experiences, being in these close games. You know, they know what their role is on this team, and they do it. They play it to a T. So, you know, shout out to the Phoenix Suns. They make a return to the NBA Finals, and Chris Paul. I'm glad to see him, as I'm sure every NBA fan is, to see, you know, one of the greatest point guards to ever grace the basketball court make it to the NBA Finals. And you know, he couldn't do it with the Clippers, but at least you can always say that Chris Paul was the first step that got the Clippers on the right direction. And the right direction this season was for the Clippers. They made the Western Conference Finals, their first ever in franchise history. Now, is it a disappointing season for the Clippers, Alex?
I mean, yes and no. I know that sounds kind of like, oh, yes and no, like pick one. I say no in the case that coming into this playoffs, I don't think anybody would have picked the Clippers to make a Western Conference Finals run. I don't think even with a fully healthy squad, but at the same time, for them to make it this far. And it sucks that Kawhi Leonard went down, that, you know, once again, they were right there. They had moments where, you know, they could have pulled it off. It was, I believe, game 4 against Phoenix where, you know, Paul George missed those crucial free throws. Or was that game 1? What am I talking about?
Game 4.
Or it was game 4, right? Okay.
That was game 4.
I'm getting my numbers mixed up. But, yeah, you look at sort of moments like that. And also, too, like, Paul George actually had a pretty solid playoffs for the most part. Like, he actually did pretty well. He had moments where pandemic P, whatever you want to call it, showed up, creeped up on him. But, I mean, I think the Clippers, for the most part, exceeded some expectations, but at the same time, you know, fell short over the simple fact that they were kind of right there. But, I mean, I don't know. It is what it is.
No, it's you know, it's disappointing season for the Clippers, just like it'll be a disappointing season for any team that didn't make the finals or win the title, right? Because the ultimate goal is what? Get to the finals and win a championship, right? So, I mean, if you didn't accomplish that, then it's a disappointment season. You can look at it like that. But look, them getting this far to the Western Conference Finals, and then on top of that, beating the Jazz without Kawhi Leonard, like, to me, those are wins that you can use to build this team going forward. And, you know, mad respect to Ty Lue. He clearly an upgrade from Doc Rivers. You know, he coached this team well, and he made the adjustments that he needed to make. He had a...
Because they were down 2-1.
They were down 2-1. You know, they were down 2-0 twice in these playoffs. So he made the right adjustment, and I feel like he had like a Midas touch as to what lineups to put out there, when to put certain players out, when to sit certain players down. He had that kind of touch. And it worked for him a lot. But look, you said it, Paul George. You know, I called him out in the Clippers' first-round matchup against the Dallas Mavericks. And look, he stepped up. He elevated his game and then some, especially after Kawhi Leonard got hurt. In the series with the Phoenix Suns, he averaged 29 points, 10 rebounds, shooting 42% from the field. Look, it has to be said now. Playoff P is a warranted nickname. He showed us what he can do. he missed a couple free throws. But if we look back at every great star that, or every great player that has played in this league, they've had those playoff moments. You know, it's going to happen. I like this quote by DeMarcus Cousins. He spoke up about Paul George. And I quote, "I don't know where this trolling bullshit has come from. The internet controls the narrative about these players. It's become foolish, man. That's one of the most special players to ever lace his shoes up. Give the dude his flowers, man." And I should have said, I don't know if we have kids listening. I'm sorry. That was a curse word. That was DeMarcus Cousins, not me. I did not say that.
I'm quoting him. I agree with them. I think, you know, Paul George definitely deserves his flowers. And I mean, I've been one of those people where I kind of joked around with the whole pandemic pee kind of thing. And I can only really speak for myself in this instance. It was just mostly out of, man, like, this guy is so good, is so talented that he's better. In those instances where, you know, he came up short, whether it was missing free throws, shooting poorly from the field, I would just kind of watch those games and be like, damn, man, like, Paul George, like, PG-13 is better than that. Like, he shouldn't even be playing like this. I think that's sort of the root of where kind of like all this bashing comes from. I think it got to a point where people took it a little bit too far, where I was like, okay, like, you know, at times where he showed up, especially when Kawhi Leonard went down, like, the dude put up 30, 40 points, like, the game after, you know, everyone got kind of quiet, and it's like, hey, man, like, dude balled out. Like, let's not forget about, you know, these moments where he does show up and he does exactly what we expect him to do and what he needs to do in situations where the Clippers need a win, and especially then when they lost, you know, their best player. Paul George was the next man up, and for the most part, I hit my mic. I would say he delivered.
Now the bigger question for the Clippers as they head into the offseason, well, now that they are in the offseason, is, do you run it back or do you blow it up? And by that, I mean, there's a couple of decisions to be made. You know, some are in your hands, some are not. The biggest one is Kawhi Leonard can exercise his player option and become an unrestricted free agent this summer. Early reports say that the Mavs and Heat will be lurking the waters of Kawhi Leonard Bay to see if they can attract them. But that's the decision. Now, my money is on Kawhi staying. You know, I know he just bought a house. He dropped a lot of money on a house. So with how this squad grew this postseason and how they just learned to play together and play under Ty Lue, I feel like if the whole squad comes back together, if they decide to run it back, this team can be a contender to make the finals. But they have to bring back Reggie Jackson, which I think that's the one piece that I think is going to be impossible, because he played himself into some money. And look, after the game, he was very emotional in postgame, talking about playing for the Clippers and how they sort of revived his career being traded to L.A. And, you know, the players and the coach giving him this confidence. And look, when Kawhi Leonard went down, he stepped up as well. And it was in those games where I'm sure teams are like, I could use Reggie Jackson on my team. So he's probably going to go make a lot of money this offseason. But if the Clippers can get close, I would say try and run it back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you definitely run it back in the case where Kawhi Leonard comes back, which I think he will. I don't think he leaves. Like you said, he bought a house. Like, I think he really wants to be in L.A. He's a California kid, so I don't think he wants to leave when he went through all this trouble with Toronto and all that, just trying to get to California. So I don't think he goes anywhere. And yeah, like you said, man, Reggie Jackson, I think as much as you want to keep him, it'll probably be hard, because teams looked at that playoff performance and said, man, those glasses must have done something, because he shot the ball very well in these playoffs. So
funny thing about Reggie Jackson, I don't know if I saw this on Twitter, on Instagram, but there was
What's up?
Why does it look like Reggie Jackson is that NBA 2K player that gets all the accessories? Because Reggie Jackson be playing with every single basketball accessory known to man.
Oh, my God. Now that I think he's got the glasses, he got the headband, he got all the sleeves. He got the wristbands. Damn, that's kind of true.
hey, if it's working for him, keep on doing it, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, look good, play good. Whatever works for him. And hey, it worked out, so.
Yeah. And, look, I mean, you know, we said it, you know, just to finish off on the Clippers. Who knows where they ultimately finish if Kawhi doesn't get hurt, you know, but that's a circumstance of the game, injuries. And it seems that these playoffs injuries have been happening a lot more than frequently, you know. More recently, Trae Young twisted his ankle, stepping on a ref. Once again, those refs, you know, we shake our fists at those refs, get out of the way, ref. And then also in that same game, in the next game, where the Hawks beat the Bucks without Trae Young, they spanked the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo got hurt, where he hyperextended his left knee. Now, the good news on that is MRI showed no structural damage, but still he's out. So Trae Young is out for game five, as was Giannis. He was also out for game five. Now, the Hawks are targeting game six as a possibility, but they aren't really saying if that's going to be a possibility or not at this point. But look, Trae Young and Giannis both being hurt, Alex, to me, it's sad for me to say this and it sucks, but those are the two stars for each team. So both being out, to me, it makes the series even. And to add to that, it's 2-2 right now. So to me, it's anybody's series, to be honest.
It is. I think I would still lean towards, if I had to choose a team
going forward,
you know, with these injuries going forward, yeah. I actually would roll at Atlanta just because of what they did in game four without Trae Young. And you look at how Milwaukee played without Giannis. I mean, it's a case where I think it really falls upon Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday to really step up for the Bucks if they want to make it to the finals. And I think you look at Atlanta, I mean, Lou Williams, I mean, this is a dude that's been around the league for years. And, you know, he's in Atlanta, so we all know he likes his wings. And, hey, he put up like 21. he put up like 21 in game four. In the absence of Trae Young.
What's in those wings? You know what I'm saying? What's in those wings?
he's a seasoned veteran, no pun intended, because, you know, you got to throw some seasoning on chicken wings too. He might be the reason why there's a global shortage. I don't know. But I think I just look at between those guys, you know, going down, it looks like Atlanta is sort of more the complete team. Or, I mean, like they're even. I just think that with Milwaukee, there's sort of that little uncertainty of whether or not Chris Middleton, I think especially, like, he's such a good player, but sometimes he can be inconsistent, where one game he drops 40 and then the next game he drops like 16. Actually, didn't he have like 16 points, 15 or 16 points?
I believe so.
In game four, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, he's better than that. And with Giannis down, like, he pretty much kind of has to put up, you know, a 30-40 piece. And I would look at Jrue Holiday as well. I mean, even though he's a very good two-way player, and I think people applaud him more for his defense, I think he really needs to produce on the offensive end, because I just see it where, you know, Atlanta can hold their own without Trae, but Milwaukee needs to do a little bit more work if they want to survive without Giannis.
I think you kind of hit it on the head. I think the Hawks have a stronger overall team, talent-wise, than the Bucks, which is interesting to say, take into account that the Bucks had a better record than the Hawks. But I think here's what's key, is that Lou Will can somewhat replicate what Trae Young does. Not exactly what Trae Young does, but, you know, a little bit. The Bucks don't have anyone that can replicate even a little bit of what Giannis gives you. Nobody. So that's what you're missing. That's what the Bucks are missing. And you know, who knows? They may have to start dumping it down low to Brook Lopez and, you know, letting him go to work. And you may have to just change your offensive system, because if Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday aren't hitting their shots, you know, like, what are you going to do?
Right, exactly. Like, is PJ Tucker going to be the dude that puts up 30 points? Like, I mean, he's capable, but when do you normally see PJ Tucker put up a lot of points? And there's also been question marks about Mike Budenholzer's coaching abilities, sort of decision-making, where in games he sort of moves away from his game plan. And you've seen it where the Bucks sort of, you know, fall apart down the stretch because they decide they want to not play the game they were playing earlier when they were doing one. They had a lead, and all of a sudden they decided to switch up their whole, you know, game plan, and they blow a lead. So, you know, with the loss of Giannis, there's definitely more of these question marks with Milwaukee, where if it isn't Chris Middleton or Jrue Holiday, then, you know, who else is going to really be picking up the slack? Whereas in Atlanta, you got Lou Williams, who's doing a fine job in place of Trae Young. You got Bogdanovich, who's sort of fighting his stride again. You got John Collins, who was kind of quiet, but for the most part has been solid in these playoffs. You got Clint Capella. So Atlanta has pieces to, you know, to make up for the loss of Trae Young. Whereas in Milwaukee, you know, there isn't a lot of, you know, I feel like such a, like, a-hole for saying this. They don't have reinforcements, but it's like outside of Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, like, I just don't see, you know, who else can really pick up the workload that, you know, Giannis produces.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one for the Bucks going forward. Granted, you know, we haven't seen them too much without Giannis, so we'll see how they do. But look, Mike Budenholzer has definitely found himself in the hot seat despite the success he's had with the Bucks. You know, there were reports earlier this year that if Mike Budenholzer doesn't get to the finals, he could be fired and find himself in the coaching carousel. And speaking of new coaches and the coaching carousel, we have a lot of new coaches in the NBA next season, Alex. And we're going to try and run through them as best as we can. And maybe if we have time, talk about some of the openings that are still vacant. So let's start off with Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics hire Ime Udoka from the Brooklyn Nets as assistant coach. Now, from what I've read, Udoka is a well-respected assistant in the NBA, including a stint with Team USA, where he coached Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart. So there was already that pre-built-in relationship. So on paper, I haven't seen him coach, but on paper, I think this is a smart, sensible hire for the Boston Celtics. And if anything, it shows that they're listening to their young stars.
I love this hire. I actually wanted the Bulls to hire Ime Udoka when they were doing their little coaching search. And I'm fine with Billy Donovan. Like, he's fine. Like, I like Billy Donovan. I'm definitely fine with that hire. I think he's it's one season, but, you know, there's room to grow. But anyway, let me stop talking about the Bulls. I love Ime Udoka. I think just as an assistant, you know, he's had a lot of success on any bench he's been on. Former player as well. I remember when he played for a little bit. I think he was on Phoenix's coaching staff. Philly. He was on Philly's coaching staff for a little bit as well. So, I mean, he knows his way around the league. And like you said, he has those relationships with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown already, you know, heading into this job with the Celtics. So, I mean, I think Ime Udoka is sort of the model head coach of today's NBA. I mean, granted, he hasn't, you know, had the opportunity until now to be an NBA head coach, but I think he has that blend of sort of youth to connect with the players, but also that experience that you want out of a coach, where he's been in the game very long, not only as a player but also as an assistant with some pretty successful teams. So I love the hire.
And even better, he's a first-time coach, which is that's what I was harping on in some episodes back. I was like, we need some fresh blood in the coaching family. So Udoka is a first-time coach. You know who's not a first-time coach? It's Dallas Mavericks' new head coach, Jason Kidd. This will be Jason Kidd's third stint with the Dallas Mavericks. First, he was drafted by Dallas. Then he was traded to Phoenix. He came back to Dallas.
Right.
Ooh, I don't know what year, but he was part of the winning championship team in 2011. So now as coach, he comes back. And look, Jason Kidd's past stops at coach haven't been as successful. Yes, he made the playoffs with those teams, but it was in the Eastern Conference when the Eastern Conference wasn't what it is now. And even at that, he only got past the first round once. His regular season record is below 500. Now, what could help him in Dallas? He has that bad boy named Luka. Luka Doncic makes things easier. But here's the thing: the Mavs still need to improve the roster. So it's been a wholesale change with Dallas. I know you and Manny touched upon it when I was absent. They hired a new GM who has a history with players. He comes from the Nike headquarters, I believe. So, you know, I'm not quite sure what to feel about the Jason Kidd hire on the coaching aspect, because like I said, I haven't been too impressed with his past stops. But look, ultimately, I think this is Kidd's last chance to make a go of it as a head coach, to be a successful coach, a head coach that will keep getting jobs down the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely fair to sort of have your question marks about Jason Kidd. I mean, as his tenure as a head coach in the past, he hasn't been the best. Not horrible, but not great either. He's sort of been kind of subpar for the most part. But I think this situation with Dallas now, I think it's a good fit for him, probably a better fit that he's had in his previous stints. Obviously, having a guy like Luka on your roster really helps, but this is an organization he's had success in, you know, as a player when he first came into the league, obviously helping them win a championship. So, the organization and those fans are, you know, open arms, like, hey, what's up, kid? Like, not kid, like, literally, what's up, kid? Like, welcome back.
Touché.
So, I mean, on paper, like, I mean, I think it's a good fit. Obviously, it'll take some time. With Dallas, I feel just that they need to add a little more pieces around Luka and Kristaps. I mean, outside of that, I mean, you know, you got Tim Hardaway. I think just they have some nice role players there, but I think they need another solid three if they really want to compete in the West. And I think Jason Kidd, you know, if he has that opportunity, I think he could do well.
Another first-time coach will be coaching for the Portland Trail Blazers. First-time head coach Chauncey Billups, he gets his first go at head coaching. Not sure what to make of this hire. From a coaching standpoint, you know, he's been an assistant on a few teams, but this is his first head coaching gig. I will say that as a player, he was a good leader on the court. You know, I as I'm sure most we remember him, that he led the Detroit Pistons to that one title, beat that Lakers. That was a powerhouse team with four Hall of Famers. So now how would that translate to his coaching? You know, he's a player's coach. It's what I'm hearing that he may be like. So it could be a situation similar to Ime Udoka, where he's this new breed of coaches that are needed for today's NBA.
Yeah. I mean, I think out of these, I think Chauncey Billups is the one where I was kind of like, okay, like, I mean, I get it. I think it's a great comparison where you say him and Ime Udoka. I think in the case of Udoka, he has a nice coaching resume, a coaching resume that has, you know, success where around the league, you know, he is very well respected, not only, you know, as a player as he once was, but just, you know, as a coach. Whereas with Chauncey Billups, there's a little bit more question marks there, and it's kind of like, you know, you shrug your shoulders and you say, you know, we'll see. Honestly, I was actually feeling Becky Hammon a little more than Chauncey Billups in this case. You know, not just because, you know, she's a woman. I think she's very well equipped, you know, very well experienced to be an NBA head coach. And I hope she gets hired at some point, because I'm honestly pissed off. So I think that was a case where I think she sort of fit the bill a little bit more than Billups. Oh, check that out. Billups. I didn't even think about that. I was just kind of saying it. I was like, that actually kind of works out. So, I mean, well, you know, we'll see with Chauncey. I mean, on paper, I get it. But I think when it came down between him and Becky, I sort of saw Becky as the better fit out of the two.
You know who's a good fit with their new team is Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle is the new head coach of the Indiana Pacers. And I think that's a perfect hire for Indiana. They know Rick Carlisle. He coached there from 1997 to 2000, so about four seasons. They had success with Rick Carlisle, but him coming back, he's more seasoned. And I always thought highly of Rick Carlisle as a coach. I think in Dallas, it was just his time to leave. I think he had been there 10-plus years, if I'm not mistaken. He was one of the longest tenure head coaches, if I'm not mistaken. So I like to hire. Patriots have talent. Obviously not to the level of some of the other Eastern Conference teams, but they have talent. And I think Rick Carlisle has proven that if he has talent, even if it's not the best talent in that conference, he will find a way to utilize it to the best of their abilities. You know, and I just call back the 2011 Dallas Mavericks. the only true star they had was Dirk Nowitzki. And then from there on, it was every role player had different roles to play. You know, some games it was Jason Terry. Some games it was Sean Marion. Sometimes it was Tyson Chandler. You know, sometimes it was J.J. Barea. So talented players, but not star level. They only had one star. So granted, the Pacers don't have a star right now, but they have a lot of talented pieces. So I think Rick Carlisle is going to have success at Indiana.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Honestly, I think Rick Carlisle was the candidate where honestly, any team he went to was going to be a good hire. He was just, I think, a coach where any franchise would want. He has the experience. He knows kind of like where to put guys. Like you, I mean, the perfect example that you just said was that championship team with Dallas. You know, outside of Dirk Nowitzki as a star, he knew exactly where to put, you know, Sean Marion in some cases, where to put Jason Kidd, J.J. Barea, Tyson Chandler, all those guys. And, you know, it amounted to a championship. So this is a guy that has plenty of coaching experience, but I think is pretty much respected a lot within the league, just sort of knows players, knows the game very well. I mean, I feel like if you're in the NBA, you should know the game of basketball, but I think in his case, you know, he knows it very well. You know, he's been around the rodeo plenty of times. So, and, you know, I just think the coming back to Indiana to a place that he's been with, just with young stars now. You got Caris LeVert over there, who I really love, that I wish he could have shined in Brooklyn, but, you know, it is what it is. But hopefully he finds a new home in Indiana. You got Sabonis. You got Miles Turner. So, I mean, there's some nice little pieces in Indiana. I think he's definitely, you know, the guy to be able to sort of fit those pieces, right?
Definitely. That was our last topic for this week's episode of the Basketball Fiends. We probably went a little extra this week, and it happens. You know, sometimes some of these topics, we have to go past the 5 minutes of a lot of time that we have. And I think some of our earlier topics we definitely went over, but it was topics that we had to talk about, and, you know, definitely we had to expand what we wanted to say. But with that said, Alex, what are your plans for the weekend?
I'm actually going to, I could finally say I have plans. I'm going to I'm going to a Chicago Fire game on Saturday, and then I'm gonna be spending Father's Day at my brother's house. We're having a nice little get together. I think they're gonna have some fireworks, so it should be
nice.
Fun for 4th of July. Did I say Father's Day?
Yeah, I think you did say Father's Day, and I was thinking,
No, I mean Father's Day. We were there for Father's Day. Now we're going back for 4th of July. That's what I meant.
There you go. Well, I will also be at an MLS game tomorrow, but I will be at the Houston Dynamo. And who are they playing? On my calendar, FC Cincinnati. I will be going to cover the game. And tomorrow, you're going as a fan, right? But last week, you actually went as press. So now you'll get to have two different experiences.
Yeah. So I'll be on the lookout. Little story in the works coming up. So be on the lookout. But yeah, it'll be nice to be a fan. Ever since I started college, I haven't been able to be much of a fan at sporting events. So it'll be nice to switch it up for a change.
Definitely. All right, people. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Basketball Fiends. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.